The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, hello, friends, and welcome to this edition of the Sixers Talk podcast presented to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. And today I am joined by, of course, our esteemed producer and co-host, Ben Berry. Danny Pomels is still enjoying the countryside. Spoke to him today. Him and the wife are having a good time. He's getting some much-deserved and well-needed rest. So that's what Danny Pomels is doing. I want to remind you to please subscribe and rate the Sixers Talk podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And Ben, I want to get right into it. I mean, we're going to touch on a bunch of things. Obviously, you know, the NBA, that the ongoing saga with the coronavirus pandemic and players, you know, players and staff members still testing positive. Spoke to Mike Scott today on Monday. Some of his thoughts. He was, you know, as usual, brutally honest and right to the point about the league's return and about what's going on in our country. And then, you know, we're also going to hear from Allen Iverson because today is 76ers day, and Mark Zumoff had the opportunity to sit down with Ben, I think I would pretty safely say our collective favorite player on this podcast. But first I want to touch on, you know, the news comes out, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Sacramento Kings are the latest teams to shut down their practice facilities. That makes seven teams around the league that have had to shut down their other facilities over concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. And I guess my question to you, Ben, is, as your concern gone up, and what is the cutoff for you? Like, at what point do you think the NBA would say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be going down to Disney this week. Maybe we give it another week, or maybe we reassess what we're doing.
I don't know what the NBA's cutoff is. I think mine was reached at two teams. It's like,
fair enough.
You know, it's, hey, stop, turn around, don't go any further. Like, each team that pops up with shuts down their facilities, it's like another reason for us to stop, look around us, and reevaluate things. But the NBA is like, nah, I got this. And they keep going. The Bucks and the Kings add to Denver, Miami, the Clippers, the Nuggets. Oh, I said Denver. So, like, why don't you just slow down, reevaluate things, think, like, maybe we should wait another week, another 2 weeks. Or maybe we should not play all together. Like, I know that's taking money out of people's pockets, and I never want to be the guy that's taking money out of people's pockets because it'll affect you and me as well if we don't have sports come back. But guys are testing positive on the team, trainers, and people are part of the team. They're shutting down facilities. Just reevaluate things. We don't need to go full steam ahead because it's another road sign saying stop, turn around, road closed, and we're just, nah, we got this.
I mean, I get it from the standpoint of, I mean, it's so complicated, obviously. So, like, it's so hard to fully grasp everything that's happening, but I get it from the perspective of they're on a tight schedule, right? Like, they have to wrap this thing up by October. I mean, that's October 12th is game 7 of the NBA Finals. So they're on a tight schedule to get everything started and get that all up and running. But at the same time, like, if we've learned nothing from this, from not just sports as human beings, if we've learned nothing about anything about this situation, it's that you have to be ready to adjust. No matter what's going on, like, we've all had to adjust working from home. We've had to adjust writing about sports when there are no sports. Everybody in their everyday lives has had to adjust, you know, whether it's people working from home, whether it's people having to go to still commute, you know, back and forth from work, but having to take all of these, you know, these necessary safety precautions. So if we've learned nothing, it's that adjustment is huge. So if you're the NBA and now seven of your teams have had to close their facilities, yeah, maybe it's time that you look and you reevaluate and you think, maybe we need to push this back. You know, because even if like you said, Ben, if it's a week, if it's 2 weeks, you still are in an okay position to start the season on time, that July 30th date. You're still in a reasonably decent time frame if you wait an extra week. Because you look, like you mentioned, the Clippers, Landry Shamet tested positive. They already said he's not traveling with the team to Orlando. So now the team's going to go to Orlando, and he's going to have to wait to get cleared and then go on his own. So already that's like – and I'm sure he's not going to be the only guy who's in that position. So as we go forward, I just worry that, you know, you're playing kind of a dangerous – I mean, let's be real, no matter what, you're playing a dangerous game, but you're separating – you know, like now you have one player at least that isn't going to be traveling with the team who has to wait to be medically cleared. And I want to give the NBA their just due in this sense. Compared to the other leagues, they're probably handling this the best. I mean, look at Major League Baseball right now. You have Sean Doolittle of the Nationals saying, like, yeah, like, I got tested, and I'm here, like, practicing, and I don't have the results of those tests yet. So think it, like, compared to the NBA where we're seeing all these positive tests, maybe that's actually, in a weird way, a good thing because we're getting that transparency from the NBA that we're not getting from Major League Baseball or the NFL or even the NHL. Well, the NHL to an extent, but not as much as the NBA.
Yeah, the baseball thing is mind-blowing. I read Mike Rizzo's statement this morning. It was like, ooh, child. Like, it don't seem like anybody know anything over there. And Mike was like, I'm shutting this down because I'm not – none of these players, I'm not risking them, their families, whatever. So, I remember we talked about this a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, before everything was announced, before a pod. I suggested cutting down the amount of playoff games. I think that would help because if we're rushing for this July 31st date, it seems like we're going to be up against it. If we cut back on the – I thought we should have went straight into the playoffs. I know that's unfortunate, but whatever. And like that first round, I think it would have been better entertainment. And some people would have said it was unfair. Oh, well, first round, best of one game, whatever. That would have caused chaos. But I think we all would have watched second round, three games, conference finals, five, NBA finals, seven. I think that would have gave the league an extra, 2 to 3 weeks to figure things out. A little bit more time to learn more information about this and everyone to adjust. But since we're playing 8 games to finish off,
well, see, that's my concern. I think the playoffs are okay being what they are, but I don't think you need to play 8 games. I don't think you need to play 8 seeding games. I think you could theoretically cut that in half if need be. You know, you play a couple scrimmages, then you play 4 games, and then you go to the playoffs. Like, it's not like it's a – to me, if you would just go right into the playoffs, it's not like you're going to feel like a team got cheated, right? I mean, if the Portland Trailblazers do wind up getting the AC, which I think is entirely possible, they still got to play the Lakers in the first round. Like, I'm sorry, and I love Dame. Dame Lillard is absolutely one of my favorite players. I love watching him play. I can't envision a scenario where the Portland Trailblazers can beat the Lakers in a playoff series. I just can't see that happening. So from that perspective, I don't think anyone's going to get cheated by cutting down the seeding games. I think where you might look at an asterisk situation or a team getting cheated would be if you shorten the playoffs. So I think the league should be prepared to pivot and say, you know what? Probably not going to get all 80 of these games in. Let's go to 4. Unfortunately, Ben, I think it goes back to what you said is people might lose money. And that's kind of where we're at, I think, with that.
This reminds me of when we were all in class, and I'm not saying you had a teacher, they brought in a little projector thing, and it didn't work. The teacher didn't have a backup plan. Now the whole class was chaos. Or someone that went up there with a presentation or something, and like a book report or something, like a little project, and it didn't go as planned, and they had They had no plan two. They had no plan B. There was nothing else planned. And it was just watching them just uncomfortably fail in front of everyone's eyes. Unfortunately, that's what it seems like is happening with all of sports right now to an extent. And it's just like, hey, let's just take some more time. Hey, this is what we want to do. If this doesn't work out, we can move to here, to here, to here. But everyone is like, nah, this is what it is. Then it's like, oh, no, this thing is – COVID is still evolving. We're still learning more about it, and we can't do this anymore. What do we do now? Right in front of everyone's eyes.
Your NBC Sports Philadelphia podcasts are now on the My Teams app. Listen to Eagle Eye, Sixers Talk, Phillies Talk, and Flyers Talk right now.
The ability to adjust needs to be there, and I'm not sure that we've seen that. I just don't think we've seen that from, and like you said, any of the four sports. I do think the NBA has been the quote-unquote best, but you can't – I mean, there's just – it's a completely unreasonable scenario to an extent to think you can live in this bubble and control all of these factors when it's just not happening. And then the next – that kind of leads us into the next thing. You know, clearly safety protocols and health protocols, that's paramount because you got to have – everybody's got to be safe. Everyone's got to be healthy. On top of that, with what's going on in our country, it's very clear that in a sport that is predominantly, you know, black players, everything that's going on in our country is still really on these guys' minds. I know, again, Mike Scott talked a lot about that today, and you could tell it's still very much at the forefront of his mind. And, you know, I think it was over the weekend, it was put out there by Mark J. Spears from the undefeated ESPN that the players are going to have the opportunity to have phrases on the back of their jerseys instead of their last names. Seems like a decent sentiment, a decent idea. Then you find out there's only 29 phrases they can use that were approved by the league and by the Players Association. So, Ben, I just want your thoughts on if you think this is a good idea and do you think that the league is doing it the right way by kind of making their own list that the players have to choose from?
It's not a bad idea, but it definitely isn't a good idea. I think people's heart is in the right place. However, the people that probably made this decision didn't hear from a diverse range of voices and perspectives. I know why they probably made their own list, said, hey, you guys can choose out of this. So someone doesn't show up with the name they want on the back of the jersey. Something so outrageous is like, no, you can't do this. So I feel like they should have just did what MLB did for Players Week in the last two or three years. Hey, whatever your nickname is, let us know, and we'll get it on the back of your jersey. You covered the story more than me. So I'm not – is this going to be an entire playoffs thing, a couple of games, random games here and there? So I think that might play a role into it.
I understood it to be the rest of the season, like the whole time in Florida. That's what I took it as. I could be wrong. I could have misread that, so I don't want to misrepresent what the report says. But I took it to mean the entire time at Disney they'll be able to have that.
So the entire time. We'll see. No justice, no peace. And your voice matters on the back of jerseys. It's playing it safe. That's what it is. Slogans is all playing it safe.
I hear you. And I think you're nailing it. You got the point right on the head there with the narrowing it down so much that the players can only choose from this list. I mean, I get it. It was 29. I'm sure there were a lot of people that put a lot of thought into it. But I know we talked to Mike Scott today, the first time we talked to his talked to him in a conference call since the play was suspended. And, you know, Mike was really – it was sobering. Like, he's a guy who's normally – you know, you're normally good for a colorful quote or two, and, you know, he's funny and he's engaging. But, you know, today it wasn't that vibe at all. He was very somber and, like, you know, very honest and honest and forthright as usual, but – definitely more of a somber tone to the whole availability. And he thought the jersey, he actually used the word terrible. He said he thought it was terrible. That he said what disappointed him was the most is the point that you kind of made in saying, I don't think the players had enough input on deciding what goes on the back of these jerseys. And I hear what he's saying. It's the idea of you are trying to let players represent themselves, so let them represent themselves. Don't narrow it down to 29 phrases in the entirety of what he could use. You put it down to 29 things. I think what you said makes the most sense, man, is just have the players submit it, have it go through the league, and if there is a phrase or a name or whatever that is a red flag for the league, discuss it with the player and try to hash it out. I get that would take a lot of time, but I think this is the kind of thing where, one, what else are we doing right now? And then two, isn't that the purpose of this, is that we need to take time, listen to people, and express thoughts and have a dialogue? Like, that's what all of this is about. So in a way, it's sort of a little bit of a microcosm to me. So I get where Mike's coming from, and I think what you said, I think that puts a nail right on the head to me.
Maybe the NBA was trying to protect themselves and trying to keep someone from getting number 7 and putting Ron Mexico on the back of their jersey. Who knows?
Ron Mexico. He hate me.
He hate me. Yeah, there we would have some wild stuff like that. Or somebody probably would have put, like, I should have been drafted higher than X player or something like that.
Something crazy. Or, like, I mean, to take it to a serious place for a moment, I mean, there are players of other races and creeds that play in the NBA, and if they got to put a phrase on there that, I mean, that, how do I put it, Ben? How do I even put it delicately?
Just not family friendly.
Yes, something not family friendly, or just something that goes against the message the NBA is trying to convey, that would probably be a messy situation as well. So you don't want to, I guess that's where the NBA is leaning to, but I think discussing it with each player, I don't think would have been a bad idea at all. Allowing them to pick one and then having it go through league approval, I think I see no downside in that, as opposed to just narrowing it down to 29 phrases. We'll see. It's not even a definite yet. It's reported on. So maybe the league will also adjust and, like, hear concerns of a guy like Mike Scott and reach out and try to make things better.
Wilmington University extends its deepest appreciation to the brave individuals who are working tirelessly on the front lines to protect, serve, and care for us during this unprecedented time. Thank you. WilmU stands with you.
And the podcast on something a little bit of a brighter note. Today is 7-6, so the Sixers are calling it 76ers Day. And so we have an exclusive interview with Allen Iverson with the great Mark Zumoff. And they cover a lot of, you know, good topics with AI. Obviously, he just had a birthday that passed. Just some of his thoughts on what the NBA is doing in the current Sixers team. So I'm going to tee it up for Zoo and AI right here.
All right, my man. You just celebrated birthday number 45. What did that mean to you, and how does it feel to be 45?
Oh, it feels
Now, listen, I'm 64. That's old, okay?
Listen. I'm so different from a lot of people that get older. You know what I mean? Like, it's a blessing, man. Like,
isn't it though? I mean, you start to feel like you have a better knowledge base. You know what I mean? You're not as freaked out about certain things.
Yeah, I mean, I look like I'm still like when I was, you know, younger in my 20s. Like, I got a birthday coming up. You know what I mean? I get excited about it. Like.
Right, but your head is older. You look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think different. My kids are getting older, and you a lot of times with them, you know, I concentrate on the fact that, you know, things that they did in previous years, you know, they supposed to be able to do better now, or not, you know, do them anymore. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's a part of my parenting, you know what I mean? You know, as I get older, they're getting older. So, you know, certain things that I learn and learn from once I get a certain age, and happy that I moved on from being a certain way, then I feel like that, you know, when their years go by, you know, they should be doing the same. And I'm gonna stay on them about it. So I'd be happy, you know, every birthday that I have, because it's like a blessing. I know so many people that that didn't make it to this age or nowhere near it. You know what I mean? So it's a big deal to me. I love it.
The NBA is getting ready to resume action in an enclosed environment. How do you feel you would feel about playing in that environment?
I don't know, because I, obviously, that's not a decision that I have to make, but I understand the question. If you know anything about me, you know that I would want to play. But I truly understand other guys taking a stance and why they don't want to play for whatever reason it is, whether it's safety or, you know, what we got going on in our world today. So, you know, to me, to each his own, and I support and I pray for, you know, the guys for whatever decision that they make.
Now, when I say or do this, this was your signature. You fed off the crowd. There's not going to be a crowd there. Joel Embiid feeds off the crowd. You fed off the crowd. What would your advice be to Joel as a guy who fed off the crowd?
Just focus that attention on the guys that you with, your coaching staff, and use them as that motivation.
And it's as simple as that.
It's just like the motivation that you get when you playing pickup. You still want to win. You still into it. You know what I mean? Still playing as hard as you can. So, you know, it'll be different, but you just playing basketball and you playing with the same agenda, same thing. And that's to win basketball games. So you do whatever you can. And then you understand and realize that everybody else got to go through the same thing that you're going through.
Ben Simmons has a lot of admiration for you. What is your relationship like, and what do you think of when you watch him play?
I think of myself coming into being a rookie with a lot of expectations. So that's why what makes me so much of a big fan of him, because I know, you know, what's expected of him, and I know what city he plays in. It can be good or bad, you know what I mean? If you don't understand that they're the most passionate and the best fans in the world, and, you know, they want to see you do well, but they can be tough on you at times because they want to, you know, a winner. And it's a lot to go in to a young person, you know, being put in a position to help a team win. And it's all on you, not on the guys that's there before you and older. It's going to be all on you because of the talent. And with the talent that God gave you, it's supposed to be those type of large expectations. You know what I mean? And I think he's built for it. He's proven he's built for it. You can't make any excuses, because we already seen that that he's built for everything that the NBA has to offer. So, you know, I'm just a big fan of him, man, and I love cheering for him. And, you know, just like the rest of the guys, man, now I know how those people in the crowd felt, you know, when I had my hand in my ear and all that. Like, I'm those people in the stands now. and I love it. I get a big kick out of it. You know what I mean? When Joel is doing all that and I'm at the game, I feel just, you know, like those other fans that's sitting in the seats.
So you heard it, Ben. Some good stuff from Zoo and AI. And, you know, always interesting to me how he kind of is so self-reflective now and talking about his legacy and how he feels old now, how he's become a fan and such a big fan of the two Sixers stars with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And I thought that was kind of an interesting parallel he makes, you know, with Ben Simmons, with being the number one overall pick, you know, in the city of Philadelphia. It's not an easy thing to do. And so because of that, he's kind of gravitated towards Ben Simmons with that.
Yeah, it's nice to hear. And, like, for so long, and I feel like for too much of NBA fans or casual NBA fans and most of America looks at AI as just like this rebel or not a leader or anything like that. And this is somebody that, for you and me that grew up here, someone we got to see mature in front of our eyes, grow up, go from the first overall pick, a young kid, to we see it wise, has knowledge, and wants to pass it on. And it's like, yo, Ben, I like you. You can do these things. Like, heed my advice. Like,
yeah,
don't make these mistakes that I made. Like, remain coachable. Grow. Don't settle. Keep working hard. And it's great to hear. Like, it's definitely something that a lot of these young – like, because all these guys, they know who AI is. But it's something I think about when Jason Kidd was coaching the Bucks and Giannis didn't want to listen to him because he didn't think he ever played basketball. That someone told him to look up – I don't know if you remember the story. Someone told him to look up Jason Kidd's stats, like his credentials. He's like, okay, I need to shut up and listen. So, like, not saying all these guys know AI or whatever, but still, the weight of someone that's been down this road that understands, it carries. Those words carry.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's something that Ben – you know, I'm not going to say he struggles with it because that's not what I'm saying. But clearly Ben, you know, marches to the beat of his own drummer. He's a pretty independent guy and a pretty independent thinking guy. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that's, you know, a good message for him to kind of absorb from AI and take from AI's career. So, Ben, I want to give you the last word here on the podcast before we sign off. Anything else you wanted to add to the discussion or any other thoughts from Mark and AI?
Only thing I want to add to the discussion is thank you all for listening. Thank you all for reviewing, 5-star ratings. If you give us 4, you're a hater. We might get basketball back. Even if we don't, continue to come to the website, check out Paul's articles. We'll keep having podcasts. It'll be only guys with hair on the pod, so no Danny, for another week or so. I don't have any much more on this, but we'll have a lot of great content still coming to you guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Sixers have, you know, as we're gearing up for this return, they are going to make players available through they're leaving for Disney on the 9th, which I believe is Wednesday. So they're going to keep making guys – or Thursday. I don't know. I don't even know where I am then. But they're going to keep making guys available. Talk to Mike Scott. We're going to talk to Josh Richardson and Alec Burks later as well. Josh Richardson's always a good guy to talk to. He's pretty honest and candid as well, and has kind of stepped up as a leader for the team. So I'm interested to hear what his thoughts are. That's pretty much what we're going to be working on for the website in the near future, is just kind of focusing on that and gearing up for a return. But want to say again, thank you so much for listening to the Sixers Talk podcast. We're brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. Like Ben said, please, 5-star reviews only. That's what I want to see. But any candid conversations or any kind of feedback you would like to give us, please feel free to reach out on Twitter. I am at Paul Hudrick. Ben, you are?
At Indigo M. Mary Ben Berry. I am Ben Berry. Twitter, Instagram, that's where you can find me.
Yep, so hit us up. We're always sharing clips from the podcast, always sharing articles. Thank you guys so much again for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.